as Mr. Sidney has already pointed out this morning, we're going to go over 14 scriptures, Lord willing, but it's not going to be as bad as you think. We are not going to do an in-depth study of all 14, unless y'all want to, and we can spend a little time and break each one down and look at the Greek, and we can see what it says, but we won't do that this morning. So we'll try to get through these pretty quickly, but that's one reason I put all of these scriptures in the bulletin, is because we are going to go through them pretty quickly, and you may not have time to turn to all of them, but I want you to know where they are, because maybe there will be some of these scriptures that we look at today that may be a good scripture for you to think about. It may be something that hits close to home. It may be something that shakes you up a little bit. So we're going to pray, and then we'll work our way through some of these things. God, I come to you today. I thank you for all these people that are here. I thank you that you let us be part of this church and this fellowship. I thank you for being good to us, for providing for us, for loving us, dear Lord. And I pray, God, that you just would pour your spirit out on us today, that we come into this place with a lot on our mind of things that we have done or need to do or want to do, a lot of things, God, that are constantly competing for our attention. But I pray, God, that in these few minutes that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, that you meet us where we are, dear Lord. Maybe there's some today that are just struggling. There are some that are seeking. There are some that just aren't really sure what's going on in life or what to make of it, dear Lord, trying to find their way, dear Lord. This is us. This is who we are as humans. We struggle. And so, God, I pray that today that you just bring us comfort and guidance and encouragement, that you would help us to draw closer to you and that you would help us to seek Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you'd be with me, that you'd help me to preach and teach in a way that brings glory and honor to you. Take away any fear or pride that's within me. And let us all seek you in these next few minutes. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a new year. There's something about turning that calendar page. It's really January 1st is no different than the last day of December. But there's something about flipping a page in a calendar. It's something about going from a 25 to a 26 that makes us stop for a minute and think, I want to do some things better. I want to change some things. And we start out and we say, I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to come to church more, or whatever it is. We have all of these things. And there's something in our mind that triggers us to say, there are some areas that I want to do better. And that's a good thing for us. That's a good thing for us to recognize those things physically and spiritually. It's a good time at the start of a new year for us to examine ourselves. Now, I'm going to put a picture up on the screen, and I want y'all to tell me, does anybody know what that is? That's a check engine light. Some of y'all are thinking, that's money. That's what that is. Because that pops up, right? Every once in a while on your car, you crank it up, it's been running fine, and all of a sudden, the check engine light comes on. Service engine soon. Okay, well, praise the Lord nowadays. Well, maybe not praise the Lord. I don't know if it's better or not. Everything is electronic. And so back in the day, cars were real simple. They had to have a spark, some gas, and some air. And as long as you got that, it was going to run. And if you didn't have that, you didn't have much to look at to find the problem. But nowadays, you got computers and you got sensors and you got all this stuff. But thankfully, when that pops up on your car or truck, you can go down to the mechanic shop. You don't even have to now. You can plug a thing in yourself and see on your smartphone. But you go down to the mechanic shop and they plug something in under your dash. They plug in a little computer and it does a diagnostic test. So it runs and it checks all the stuff on your car to see if it can diagnose what the problem is. Now, sometimes we know that there's something going on, right? We feel a vibration, or there's a weird smell, or a weird sound. And boy, that's something. You go to the mechanic trying to explain the sound, and you're like, well, it's a squeaking. And he's like, well, does it sound more like a cat sliding down a tin roof, or like a train, like slamming on brakes? And you're trying to figure out like how to describe it to him, because your car will never do what it's doing when you get it to the mechanic. But we go and they do a diagnostic. They have to diagnose what the problem is. And sometimes we have an idea that there is a problem. We can hear it, we can smell it, we can feel it. And other times we don't even know that there's a problem. Sometimes we go in the shop and we don't even know that there's something going on. And they run that diagnostic test and they say, hey, you need a new O2 sensor or something, whatever it may be. And so sometimes in life, when it comes to our vehicles, we have to have a diagnosis to see what is going on. Well, our spiritual life is really no different. Because sometimes there are things in our life that we know just aren't quite right. It don't feel right. There are things in our life, it doesn't feel right. We're just not running good. Spiritually speaking, there's something within us and we feel tension or we feel sorrow or we feel burden or we feel stress or whatever it is. There are sometimes we feel and we just know that there's something that's not right. Other times there are things in our life that aren't right and we don't even realize that those things are there or maybe that we need to change in those ways. Now, when it comes to our car, when you start getting those symptoms that something's going on, you better check it out because it could be more serious than you think. And so we have a couple of options when we realize that our check engine light is on. We can take our car to the shop because we know something's going on and we can get it fixed, or we can just put a piece of black tape over it. Some of you have done that before. I'm tired of seeing the check engine light. How do I make it go off? Well, you get your little piece of black tape about 1 inch by 1 inch and you stick it over it. And you can cover up the check engine light, but there's still a problem there. And when you know there's a problem there, you don't want to cover it up. You need to deal with it and fix it, or it could lead to a disaster. And so spiritually speaking, the same is true. Sometimes there are some things in our hearts, some things in our souls, some things in our life that aren't good, that we need to get checked out. And sometimes we know that those things are in our heart and in our life, and we just pretend like they're not there. And that's not good for us. That's not healthy for us. And so we got to get it fixed. We need a diagnostic test run on our heart to see what's going on in there and what's wrong and what the problems are and what's needed to fix it. And maybe, just maybe, it's going to reveal some things that we didn't even know were there that need to be addressed. And our diagnostic test for us to check our heart is the Word of God. It's our Bible. Now, I want to ask you, when's the last time that you read your Bible? You may read it every day, praise the Lord. You may read a chapter a day. You may read 3 chapters a day. You might read a verse a day. You might have hadn't picked up your Bible in a month. You say, well, I come to church. Well, praise the Lord. That's good. But we as individuals, we need to spend some time in God's Word, because that's what we're going to use to check ourselves. That's the way God's going to speak to us. We're going to read these words of God, and they're going to begin to reveal things that maybe we didn't even know were there in our life. It's going to begin to convict us and kind of show us, wait a minute, you don't need to be living this way. You need to change this. And so just as our cars need to be plugged into that computer, well, we as Christians need to be plugged into the Word of God. And what's it going to reveal to us? Well, it may reveal more than you realize, more than you know. It may provide the solution to your problem that you didn't even know existed, but it's right in the Word of God. Now, we're going to go through some scriptures real quickly. You can jot them down. If you want to try to turn, you can. But I'm going to go through them quickly just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about the Word of God is good for us to help repair our problems and show us our deficiencies and help us perform up to our full standard that God wants us to, that's why the Word of God is so important. Here's something that the Word of God talks about. If we plug into the Word of God, you may come across the topic of worry. Does anybody in here worry? You don't have to raise your hand. I know you do. Every single one of you in here worry. I suspect that that's probably one of the biggest things that everybody in the world deals with. It's probably very few people that don't struggle with worry. And you might be sitting there saying, but you don't even understand what I got to worry about. And some of you, while I've been talking the last 5 minutes, are worrying. Some of you are worrying, I'm going to go through all these scriptures, it's going to take 3 hours. Some of you are worrying about how you're going to pay your bills. You got a bill due tomorrow. You got your check engine light in your car. You're worried about how you're going to pay for that. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about somebody that's sick. You're worried about a neighbor. You're worried about a friend. You're worried about church. You're worried about something. Well, we plug into the Word of God. What does it tell us? In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 26, it says, this is Jesus speaking, by the way. This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Well, that's a pretty good verse. That's a pretty good verse for us to plug into the Word of God and say, okay, I'm worrying. What am I going to do? I have a problem. Man, things just don't feel like it. I just feel this stress. What's my diagnosis? Well, my diagnosis is that I'm worried. Okay, we've established that. So what does Jesus say? Jesus says, take a deep breath. He says, know this. God loves you. He cares for you. Look at the way God cares for the smallest things in the world. The birds of the sky and the grass of the field, the flowers of the field, they're here today and they're gone tomorrow. And yet, God provides for them. They don't worry. How much more so will God provide for you? Now, Jesus says here, do not worry. And if Jesus says, do not do something and we do it, then that's a sin. Now, we might not think of worry as a sin. And I'm not telling you that I have mastered not worrying. I get it. Because, man, no sooner than you stop worrying, it comes right back. You start worrying again. But maybe we find comfort in the Word of God today. Maybe you are worried today, and maybe you just need these words of Jesus of reassurance that you have to trust the Lord, not depend on yourself, not get overwhelmed by the things of the world, but know that God is watching out for you today. And He may not give you everything that you want, but He's going to take care of you. And there are plenty of us in this room that could testify to that today. That there have been seasons in our life that God has taken care of us. That as a church, that there have been times that have been tough, that God has provided and taken care of us. So we plug into the Word of God, and it helps us to see that we don't need to worry. If worry is your problem, this is a good scripture to turn to. Here's another problem that some of you may face. Anxiety, kind of in the same family as worry. Does anybody ever get anxious about anything? Probably all of us. Boy, we get anxious, we get worked up, and man, it's bad when you have an anxiety attack. Some of you have really had some serious anxiety attacks, I bet. And man, that anxiety is overwhelming. Because in the midst of our anxiety, we're not sure how we're going to make it out. What am I going to do? What do I need to do? And we just get in this panic state where we can't do anything. And we just feel the weight of that. And some of you come into this building today, perhaps, and you feel the weight of that anxiety. Some of you listening online feel the weight of that anxiety. Here's a great scripture. Okay, we got a problem. We feel it. We know there's a problem. We plug into the Word of God. What does it say? In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Well, that's easier said than done, right? I can stand up here all day and tell you don't be anxious, but it's not that easy. But praise the Lord, not only does the Bible tell us not to be anxious, it doesn't just stop there. It tells us what to do. Listen to what the Scripture says. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Man, that's good advice. Be anxious for nothing. Okay, so what am I going to do, God? You're telling me not to be anxious. What do you want me to do? Well, the answer is pretty simple, and we probably know the answer, but do you do it? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Are you praying to God about your struggles, about your anxiety, about the things that have you feeling this way? Well, the scripture, man, this is a good scripture to plug into. If you got stuff going on in your heart and your life, man, you might want to jot this one down. You may want to memorize it. I don't do good at memorizing scriptures, but this is one of the first scriptures I memorized. And maybe it's good for some of you to think about and bookmark or memorize. Because that anxiety, man, it comes. It seems like it just comes more and more often. But the cure for that anxiety is to take your problems to God. Say, God, I need you. I just feel the weight of this situation in my life, whatever it may be. God, I need you. God, I feel the weight of my sin. God, I need you to forgive me. God, I need you to be my strength. I need you to help me. And what does it say? That if we pour our heart out to the Lord, if we let our requests be made known to God, what does it say? That we'll experience the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Boy, in the midst of our struggles and our anxiety, we say, "How? I don't understand how I can get out of it. I don't understand how I can get any freedom from this." God can give you freedom from it. He can give you a peace that you can't understand until you have received it from Him. You struggle with anxiety today, plug into the Word of God. The Scripture may help you to get through those tough times. Here's another problem. Maybe some of you in your life, you got something going on, you plug into the Word of God and you begin to read about fear. Boy, I bet we've all been afraid before. Sometimes we are afraid of things that don't really amount to a whole lot. We're afraid of the monster under the bed or whatever it may be. But even those fears are real to us. Sometimes we're fearful of more serious things. What if I lose my job and I can't provide for my family? What if something happens to my loved one who's in the hospital? I mean, there are real fears that come up in our life. Okay, God's put something on my heart. He's kind of put it on my heart that I need to go talk to a friend or a family member and share some scripture with them or pray with them. And God, I don't know if I can do that or not. I'm pretty afraid. I don't know God. And there's a lot of things in our life that bring about fear. But we plug into the Word of God. Here's one thing the Word of God says about fear. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. God says, "Haven't I commanded you be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now that's pretty reassuring. That's pretty reassuring because the truth is that you and I are weak. You know you're weak and I know you're weak. We're strong to a certain extent, but there is a weakness that is in us. There are things that we go up against and we say, "I don't know if I can do this. I don't know that I can make it with my loved one who has passed. God, I don't know that I can make it in this marriage. God, I don't know that I can make it through this horrible situation. I don't know that I can do this thing that you're calling me to, God. I just don't know. I'm too afraid of what might happen if I do this, or if of what the future may hold for me." And there's a fear that just kind of grips and holds on to us. Boy, those words that God spoke to Joshua, those are good words. He spoke these words when Joshua was about to lead God's people into the promised land. Moses had got them right up to the doorstep. And God said, "That's going to be Joshua. You're going to be the one that's going to do it. So it's your turn now, Joshua. You're going to lead my people," which probably was a couple of million, maybe more by this point, of God's people. It probably was a lot of folks. "You're going to lead them into a foreign land. This land ain't empty, by the way. There's a lot of people living there, and they're not going to be happy you're coming. But you're just going to go in, and you're going to live there. But don't worry. But don't worry." This was a scary thing for Joshua. I expect it would have been. And maybe that's why God tells him multiple times here in this first chapter, "Do not be afraid, because God says, I will be with you wherever you go." Maybe you need that reminder today to know that God will be with you wherever you go. Here's something we struggle with. We plug into the Word of God in our life and our struggles. And what does it talk about? It talks about temptation. Is anybody in here ever tempted? Absolutely. Now, everybody's temptations are different. We need to realize that. There are things that other people do and you say, I don't know how they can do that. They just need to stop doing that. Well, hold up a second. There may be some things that you're doing that you need to stop doing too. But it's a lot easier for us to tell everybody they need to stop their sins. Maybe we need to stop our sins. So temptations are all around us. They're not all the same. Some of you may be tempted to lie. Some of you may be tempted to steal. Whatever your temptation may be. Our temptations are not all the same, but they are all temptations nonetheless. What's the Bible say about temptation? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humanity. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape so that you are able to bear it. Okay, temptations are going to come. But praise the Lord for the word of God, because you're going to be struggling. Maybe this afternoon, maybe later this week, maybe next month. There's going to be a point in your life where you are going to be tempted to do something you shouldn't do, and you know you shouldn't do it. You're going to be tempted when somebody says something to you or does something to you, you are going to be tempted to open your mouth and just let them have it. You are going to be tempted to punch them in the nose. You are going to be tempted to say something, to do something. You are going to be tempted in some way. Them temptations are going to come. But the Word of God says, look, God's going to be with you. He's going to give you a way out. And maybe in that temptation, we need to remember this verse. We need to plug into the Word of God. We need to remember verses like this and say, God, I need you to show me the way out. God, I'm tempted to drive to the bar. God, I'm passing by it. God, I need you to give me a road to turn off the other way. God, I need a way to avoid my temptation. God, my mouth is about to open. God, I need you to help me to have the strength to walk out of the room. God, show me the way out. Let me see the way out. Convict me of the way out. God, I don't want to give in to this temptation, so God, you need to help me. And God will help us if we'll seek Him. We don't have to give in to our temptations. There is a way out. And praise the Lord, we plug into the Word of God and it reminds us of that. How about freedom? Scripture talks about freedom. That's something that we probably all seek and desire. We all have those temptations that we've given into just a few more times than we want. And we just keep giving into them. And they're addictions and they're things that we crave. And it may be a chocolate chip cookie, or it may be that next drink, or it may be that next whatever it is. It may be that thing that we're craving and that we just keep giving into that temptation, and it's unhealthy for us in some way, spiritually or physically. And we just keep giving in and giving in and giving in. And we say, God, I'm tired of giving in. Well, I want to tell you today that there is freedom from your sin, whatever it may be, that temptation, that sin that so easily ensnares you, there is freedom from that today. God's word says in John chapter 8, verse 36, therefore, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Man, that's a good verse. You want to be set free today, you can be set free by Jesus Christ. You don't have to let your sin get the better of you. You might fail again. I won't say that you won't give in to that temptation, but I'll tell you, you can stand up to the enemy. You can stand up to the temptation with the power of Jesus Christ, but you cannot do it alone. But if you will seek Him, you will find Him. And you will find freedom that brings a peace that you have never imagined. There are some things that some of you may have struggled with your whole life, but I want to tell you today, there is freedom in Jesus Christ. And I'm not telling you it's always going to be easy from this point forward, but I'm telling you and I promise you that if you would seek Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, that He will give you deliverance and you will experience a freedom that you have never felt before. And how do we know these things? We know them by plugging into the Word of God. And it reveals stuff to us that maybe we already know is there. And it reveals other things to us as we continue to read it that maybe we weren't aware of, that God said were wrong, or that they were things that we were doing in our life. How about depression? Does anybody in here ever feel depressed? Man, depression's a serious thing. It gets you down. You don't want to be around people. You don't want to come to church. You don't want to read the Word of God. You just, everybody has given up on you. Everybody's your enemy. Nothing is going to work out. Your life is the worst that there's ever been in the history of the world. And you just, you see no hope in life. There is no glimmer of hope in your life. Nobody cares for you. Man, when we get in that place, that's when depression begins to set in. Nobody cares about me. God doesn't even care about me. Well, I want to tell you that's a lie today. God does care about you. God cares about you more than you possibly realize. How do we know that? Well, we know that when we plug into the Word of God. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care on Him because He cares for you. There's a lot of cares that we have. Man, there's a lot of burden in this room. There's a lot of people in here. And if we begin to make a list of the cares and the worries and the anxieties and the burdens that we have, we'd be here all day writing those things out. And you may say, nobody cares. But I want to tell you that God cares today. He wants you to put your cares on Him. God cares today. He loves you today. He has not forgotten you today. If you would just seek Him, I'm telling you that I'm not guaranteeing you that your life is going to just magically get better. But I'm telling you, when you seek the Lord, you're going to find a strength and a freedom and a peace that you never knew existed. Don't let your depression get the best of you today. Know that God cares about you. What else does the Bible tell us when we begin to plug in? Well, it talks a little bit about greed and the love of money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 says, but those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge people into ruin and destruction. Watch out. Now, most of us in this room, we would probably say, oh, we're not rich. Well, hold up a second. Maybe you're not rich compared to some of the people you know that have the big mansions and the fancy cars or the private jets, but there's a lot of people in this world. And I would venture to say that most Americans are probably richer than 95% of the people in the world. There's a lot of people in the world that have not eaten today. They will not eat today. And I would venture to say that most of you have something in your pantry and your refrigerator. It may not be what you want, but you probably have something in there. And if you don't, just hit me up after church and we're going to see that you're took care of. But if we compare ourselves to the billionaires of the world, then we're not rich. But when we begin to look in the rest of the world, perhaps we are richer than we think. And boy, we begin to accumulate that wealth and we begin to accumulate those materialistic things. And pretty soon we just want more and more and more and we become greedy. And boy, people become greedy. Guess what happens? People start doing a whole lot of crazy stuff for money. People do crazy stuff for money. I ain't talking about just sticking their hand at the cash register at the grocery store. I mean, people will come up with plots to kill people for money. I mean, that's what greed will do. And maybe we don't realize we have a love of money. But boy, we plug into the Word of God and it begins to kind of run through our soul. And all of a sudden, it makes us aware that maybe there's a problem in our life that we did not know was there. That error code pops up. Uh-oh, you got the greed error going on in your life. You need to fix this. Why? Because that greed's going to lead to your destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now, money in and of itself's not evil. No more than a gun's evil. But boy, when you begin to use it for evil, when you begin to use it to do things that are not what God desires, when you begin to trust in those things of the world, all of a sudden we have a problem. So praise God that if we would just read the Word of God, there is so much instruction there. But maybe we don't want to hear it. Maybe we know there's some things in our life that shouldn't be there, some things that need to be fixed. And we just take our little black tape and we just put right over that check engine light because we don't want to deal with it. But the things that we don't want to deal with will destroy us spiritually. So if we know things are there, then we need to seek a solution for those things. And we need to begin to get into God's Word and say, okay, God, these are the things I know I'm struggling with. Help me with these things and reveal to me the things that I'm not aware of. And the moment we plug into God's Word, it begins to diagnose our problems. And praise the Lord. Here's another one of our things that we may struggle with. Pride. Anybody struggle with that? Maybe you do. Maybe you say, I'm not proud. I'm as humble as anybody in this world. Well, maybe you need to listen to this next verse. Maybe you are a little proud. Maybe pride creeps into our hearts more than we realize. What does the scripture say? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. When pride comes, disgrace follows. But with humility comes wisdom. Okay, pride may pop itself up, but be aware what's going to follow that pride. It's going to be disgrace. Boy, pride comes before a fall. So the moment we start thinking that we are all that in a bag of chips, yeah, I'm so cool, I'm the best there's ever been, ain't nothing going to happen to me, you better watch out. Because we begin to let our guard down, we begin to make foolish decisions, we begin to trust in ourselves and not God, and the next thing you know, we have fallen quick. I mean quick. So man, if you've not read the book of Proverbs, I would encourage you start 2026 off reading the book of Proverbs. It'd be a great book to start and read through in the book of in the month of January and February and March and April all the way to 2027. Because you begin to read things like that in the Word of God and it begins to reveal things about foolishness in there, and all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, I might be the fool. We don't like to think of ourselves as the fool, but when we plug into the Word of God, it says the fool does X, Y, and Z, and you say, wait a minute, I do all those things. And so the Word of God humbles us if we'll read it. But boy, we don't plug into the Word of God, we don't address our pride, next thing you know, we're falling quick. A couple more. Another issue that some of us may deal with is loneliness. Anybody ever here feel lonely? It kind of goes along with some of the rest of the things we talked about, depression and fear. Those things all kind of go together, but sometimes we feel lonely. Sometimes we feel like we're walking through this world on our own. But again, we plug into the Word of God, we realize that that's not true. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Boy, you walking through some dark valleys, some of you. Maybe you are today, maybe you have in the past, maybe you will in the future. Boy, we walk through those valleys and it feels like we're a lone wolf. We're on this journey alone. This is dark. This is scary. Death is upon me. All these fears, all these struggles are upon me. But what does the Lord say in the psalm? But thou art with me. David says, thou art with me. God, I know that I am not alone. I am walking through this dark valley in my life, but I know that I am not alone. Man, the Bible is full of good verses like this that remind us that we are not alone, that God loves us, that God cares for us. But the only way we can know these things is to read the Word of God, to be plugged into the Word of God. Here's one some of us may struggle with, lust. Anybody ever struggled with lust before? Don't raise your hand. Here's what Jesus says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, but I tell you, everyone who looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery within his heart. Well, that's pretty serious. Boy, we've all probably looked at somebody, men, women, had an impure thought something we shouldn't have thought, let our mind go a little too far with that thought. What does Jesus say? He says, if you've lusted, you've committed adultery in your heart. Well, what is he doing here? He's saying your sin's worse than you think it is. You think, boy, I could do this little thing. This isn't hurting anything. I'm just looking. I'm not following through. I'm not touching. But what Jesus says is your sin is worse than you think it is. And these little things you do are having more of an effect on your heart than you realize that they're having. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. All right, we have these fleshly, lustful desires, and fleshly desires to do plenty of other things. So what does Scripture say? Okay, here's the problem. You lust in your heart, and guess what? It's worse than you think. But the Scripture also says, don't walk in the flesh, walk in the Spirit. Well, how do we walk in the Spirit? Well, one, we have to accept Jesus Christ. We have to have the Holy Spirit in us. We have to know the Word of God. So we have to plug into the Word of God. And finally, there's plenty of things we could go through. This is a short list, but anger. Does anybody in here ever struggle with anger? Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Here's what the Scripture says, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. A patient person shows great understanding, but a quick-tempered one promotes foolishness. Are you quick-tempered? Are you quick to anger? Are you wise or are you foolish? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Do you struggle with anger in your life? Hey, well, you plug into the Word of God, those Proverbs are a pretty good reminder for us that we need to keep our mouth shut. Now, this is not an exhaustive list of all of our sins, and maybe you struggle with some of these things that we've looked at today, or maybe you struggle with other things. But I want to tell you, the Word of God is good if you would plug into it and just say, God, I need a diagnostic test. God, I want to open my heart up to you. I want to read your word. I want to let it speak to me and reveal things that I need to see. God, I want to see what's going on in my heart. And we begin to read God's word, and it begins to work on our heart, and it begins to reveal things to us. Here's what it'll reveal to us. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, there was no one righteous, not even one. That's the diagnosis for you and I, is that we are evil and that we are sinful people. That we have plugged into the Word of God, and it has diagnosed that there is a big problem, and that is our sinfulness. No different than when you go to the mechanic and they plug in that diagnostic tool and they come back and they tell you that your spider valve actuating agitator is broke. You're going to have to replace it in your car. They come back to you and they say, we have run this test. We have diagnosed that there is a big problem that you have to fix right now. Boy, don't you love it? You go to the shop, you get your oil changed or you're getting something done. And they come in there. Y'all have probably had this happen before. They come in there and they've got your in-cabin air filter. And they're holding this thing up. Boy, it's covered in dust. And they're flopping this thing around. And they say, you're going to have to replace this in-cabin air filter. You are breathing in this air. Do you know how dangerous this is? I said, I wouldn't even put my dog in this car. And you're probably riding your kids around. You better change this in-cabin air filter. How much is it? It's $50. You need to change this thing. I'm surprised you made it over here today alive, breathing in this air. Boy, and they come. They say, you got a big problem. You got to fix this. You got to fix it right now. And I say, okay, put it in there. $50 here. Put it in there. I need it. Thanks for saving my life. And then they come back and they say, I'm not making this up. And they say, we've also got this disinfectant spray that we'll spray on it for $15 to kill anything that goes through it. I said, look, here's my card. Take $30. Spray it twice. Whatever you got to do. Sometimes we go to the mechanic shop and their diagnosis is not really too serious. Nothing that we need to take very serious. But when it comes to the Word of God and when it comes to our soul, and God's Word begins to speak to us, and we begin to see the dirtiness and the nastiness there, it's far worse than our in-cabin air filter. It's a serious problem that needs to be dealt with. So the diagnosis is that we are sinners, that our hearts are evil as they can be, that we do and we think and we say things that we shouldn't do, that God does not want us to do, that God does not approve of, that God says don't do these things, and we do them, and we're so full of evil and sin, and it weighs us down. That's the diagnosis. But here is the fix. Here's the fix. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. What's our diagnosis? Our diagnosis is our heart is horrible. But what's the fix? Your heart's horrible, but here's what it's going to take to fix it. It's going to take a new heart. And that's exactly what God told His people in Ezekiel. He said, I want to take out your heart of stone. I want to take out your sinful heart. I want to put my spirit within you. I want to transform you. I want to make you into a new man, into a new woman. I don't want you to live in your sin anymore. I want to give you freedom. I want to show you love. I want to give you grace, and I want to give you peace. God says, you got a bad heart, but I want to change that. I want to change that into something beautiful and something pure and something that's been washed as white as snow. And we'll go to the mechanic shop, and they come back with their diagnosis and the fix. They tell us, here's what you need. And what's the first question we ask? How much is that going to cost? You may be asking that question today. You said, I get it. I didn't even need to have a diagnostic. I know my heart is evil. We know our heart's evil. We know we need a new heart. What's that going to cost? It's not going to cost you anything. But it cost Jesus everything. Jesus Christ gave His life on a cross so that you could be forgiven. He shed His blood so that if you would call out to Him, if you would seek Him, if you would repent of your sins, that He would forgive you of those sins, that He would wash those things away, that the Holy Spirit would come and indwell in you. If you would just seek Him today, if you would just seek His Word today, if you would just plug in to the Word of God today and let it speak to you, you may find that there's a lot of fixes for your soul and for your heart that God wants to work in your life if you would just let Him. You may find that there are some things that God wants to work on that maybe you didn't even know were there if you would just plug in to the Word of God and let Him. All you have to do is follow Jesus Christ. He's paid it all. He's paid the price. He's covered the cost so that your heart can be made new. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. You have been healed by His wounds. Have you been healed today? Spiritually, He wants to heal you. He wants to forgive you. You don't have to give in to the temptations. You don't have to be overcome by fear and anxiety. You don't have to feel alone or afraid. You don't have to live in depression. You don't have to live in addiction. Jesus Christ has paid the price. If you would only ask Him for forgiveness today, He would forgive your sins. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your good Word. We thank You that we can look at it, that it can encourage us, that it can correct us, that it can convict us, dear Lord, that it can guide us. God, we have to be in Your Word to be able to experience these truths. So I pray, dear Lord, that if there is one here today that does not know Jesus Christ, that maybe there was a passage we read today, maybe there was a truth that was spoken today that just hit home. Maybe there are some today that are struggling with their fear and their depression and their temptations and addictions. the things that are common to all of us, dear Lord. We all have these struggles, but maybe there are some today, God, that are just struggling so hard, they just need some help. And I pray that they would know that that help comes through Jesus Christ. I pray that they would seek Him right now, that they would pray to You, that they would ask for forgiveness today. God, maybe there are some that have never known Jesus Christ. They've never trusted Him. But maybe today they realize that their sins need to be forgiven. Maybe they realize that the peace that they so desperately seek is found only in Jesus Christ. God, maybe there's some in here today, and maybe they're Yours. But maybe they just hadn't been in Your Word. Maybe they've heard it, now you know it. But maybe they've been putting a little piece of black tape over all those warning lights that's been going off. I pray today, dear Lord, that they'd rip it off, that they would open their heart, that they would let Your Word speak to them, that Your Spirit would work on them, God, that they would repent. God, I pray that everyone in here today will know that You love them, that You care for them, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross. So God, I pray that You would help us to be in Your Word, and I pray that Your Word would do a mighty work in our hearts today and every day moving forward. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.